Matthew's in Stockport. Matthew, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. It's something that's very tricky, and it does make me feel very uncomfortable, actually. I'm one of the one in four in the country that suffers with depression, and it's been about three or four years now.
Right.
And I can't describe to you the absolute fear that runs through you when you realise this might be something that you might have. It took me months to pluck up the courage to go to the doctors, because I thought they was going to cart me off. I thought, oh, they're going to lock me up somewhere in a ward. Am I all right? Am I normal? And I think if we were getting into a position within society where people were informing employers, I'd be a lot less likely to go.
Wouldn't you? I mean, it's not even controversial that if you thought someone was going to hit the button and set off the alarm, however subtly or compassionately it was done, you'd be less likely to seek help.
And I think it's because of, well, not just things like that, but I'm very open about it because I like to encourage others like myself a few years ago that would have been scared to say anything. It's all right. It's not a problem. It's very, very normalised as daft as a word that is to use. But and what I've found is that more people will come out and will talk to you within the workplace with their own issues.
Yes.
But I think if we were to be getting in a position, it's all very good to look at in hindsight, and obviously it was a horrendous tragedy. If we were getting into that sort of position, I think it'd only further the stigma more.
And yet the authorities seem to be moving in the opposite direction. The French Accident Investigation Authority have used the phrase very attached to secrecy in a slightly negative way to describe French and German doctors. And it's the BEA, the Accident Investigation Authority, that wants rules drawn up that would force doctors to alert authorities if a patient's health is likely to put the public in danger. The problem there, Matthew, is I mean, likely to put the public in danger is so vague as to be almost meaningless. And to guard against the possibility of putting something wrong, doing something wrong, you'd more than likely lurch towards going too far, wouldn't you? You'd be like the teacher reporting the kid who's misspelt cucumber. And
I think that's what you'd definitely be getting into. And the thing is, the people that are drawing up these rules, I'd love to know whether they suffered themselves, because who are we really protecting? Are we protecting the person with the condition, or are we protecting people within society? We should surely be looking at the person that may be at harm to the public or at risk to themselves.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem to be a priority. I think it comes back to empathy and sympathy. I think it's very hard to understand the condition or the mental health unless you struggle yourself. You can only sort of sympathise and feel sorry for a person rather than empathise, because you've been in that position, you know where they're coming from.
I guess so. And I don't know that if you'd lost someone on the plane, you could talk about empathy for them as well, couldn't you? I guess what people always need to believe is that tragedy is avoidable, and sometimes it just isn't. And whether it's because of the mental health condition of a pilot, or whether it's just because of the speed that a lorry is travelling on the hard shoulder, that you couldn't turn back time and do things differently. It's just harder to swallow on something like this, where you think a doctor could have sort of put the flag up the flagpole. But do you ever get negative reactions? Because I really applaud your honesty. I love the way you began by saying one in four, because that automatically puts it into the other person's court, doesn't it? Is anybody going, oh, hang on a minute, he's got mental health problems. You say one in four, and that person is automatically going, well, hang on, it's not actually that odd or rare. But you must get negative reactions sometimes, Matthew, when you're honest with people.
You know, the first time, the first reaction I got was negative, and I actually gave up. Well, I gave up playing competitive football because of it. I used to play football for a bit of a living, and went to the doctors. They said, this is what you're obviously struggling with, and it was so hard to take. I didn't know what it was. My head had gone, and I thought, I don't know what to do. So I went to the football club in question and sort of explained to the manager, and he said, right, okay. Yeah, we'll all be there for you. You know, it's an issue between us and you. Nobody else needs to know. And it was a bit secretive.
Yes.
I walked to the changing rooms one morning, and I walked around the corner. I could hear the lads talking about me. Oh, he's a bit weird in the head. I had my sexuality questioned. I had very taboo, because, you know, they were lads that are stereotypical footballers and not the brightest or whatever. And I think I ended up giving up football because there was no support network there within the game.
And that's, I mean, it's a charitable analysis. They just didn't know any better. They weren't bad people. But it is just evidence. That's what stigma does, isn't it? That is pretty much the textbook example of what stigma does to decent people, is it makes them act in an indecent way.
It does, and to be honest, a lot of the lads have come back to me since, because I wrote a blog post about it and said, you know, these are the reasons why I feel like I've got nowhere to go. And luckily, a couple of journalists picked up on it, and they thought it was really good, and that there obviously more needed to be done. I still think there's more needed to be done in life at the end of the day.
Sure.
You know, we see the mental health budget in the last parliament cut by 650 million, and yet we're told it's going to be at the forefront of things. Nothing makes sense.
A lot of sound and fury, but not a lot of action. Matthew, we'll talk again, I hope. Thank you. My love affair with Stockport is continuing today, isn't it? You thought I was making it up when I mentioned it earlier. And he makes a lot of brilliant points, and it reminds me of the conversation we had about children's mental health about a month ago, when somebody told me about the London Borough where the waiting list to actually see a counsellor has just gone to the 13-month mark. Imagine that. And you got a child who's really struggling, and you seek help. You can't afford to go privately. And you seek a little bit of help, go to the GP, you get your referral, you get your letter, 13 months down the line. And he's right. The government are making an awful lot of noises about addressing these issues and then taking away the money from the sections of the public sector that actually polices them.